Well, thank you for joining us this morning, whether you're here in the sanctuary, whether you're watching us online, or even watching us at some point later in the morning or afternoon. We're here working through a series called 2020 Vision, Seeing Clearly in Days of Deception, where really we're seeking to take a lot of these issues that are going on and talked about in the world and look at them through a biblical lens. Continue with that this morning. And I wonder, as we start, did you hear that COVID-19 was developed by Bill Gates and is spread by 5G network towers? Did you know that 9/11, the terrorist attacks on September 11th, were orchestrated by our own government? Did you hear that the moon landing was actually filmed in a Hollywood basement? Did you know that alien life is real, and for the last 80 years, all the different governments of the world have been conspiring to keep that information from us? Did you hear that JFK was assassinated by the CIA? I mean, the mafia. I mean, the KGB. I mean, Fidel Castro. I mean, Lyndon B. Johnson. Did you know that there is an anonymous source in the government known as Q, dropping information about Hillary Clinton and other worldwide elites that are part of a secret cabal that steals children and drinks their blood? Did you know that God's word says this in Philippians chapter 4? Starting in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Let's pray. Father, your word is wonderful, is excellent, is pure, is worthy of praise. Clear our minds this morning to let us hear you. Speak through your spirit clearly. Teach us with your word. If our hearts are cold or closed this morning, blow the doors open and speak. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we consider this question of how do we think biblically about the growth of fake news, conspiracy theories, UFOs, QAnon, grassy knolls, Bigfoot. The list goes on and on. I don't know if this has happened to you in the past, but maybe you're on vacation or you have a long weekend and somebody goes ahead and dumps out a big puzzle. You know, like one of those 1,000 or 5,000 piece puzzles, and they dump it onto the table. It's probably, you know, bigger than this one that I found in the children's room downstairs. But, you know, what you think, or if it happens to me, what I want to do is just ignore it. Like, the best thing right there is quick, like, let's just put that right back in the box, push it all back in the box, and put it on the shelf. But what often happens is you look at it, and about the time that you're thinking, no, this is way too much to get into this weekend, you just happen to see, like, a corner piece, right? And then there's just a little edge piece, and all of a sudden they fit together. And you get two or three pieces to come together, and then your vacation is ruined, right? I mean, maybe that's a little bit of an overstatement, but for many of us, there is this built-in, even God-given desire to figure things out, to put the pieces of the puzzle together, to solve riddles, to work out how things fit together. I think that desire to see the pieces come together, to understand the larger picture, of what's going on in our lives and in our world. The desire to make sense of the confusing events being played out in our nation, in our world. That's one of the main explanations why fake news and conspiracy theories, alternative facts, are rapidly gaining popularity in our world. In one sense, the rise of conspiracy theories and alternative facts makes sense for those who don't have faith, for those without a worldview that is centered on the sovereignty of God. Right? It makes sense that a person like that, that does not believe in God's sovereignty and his stewardship of the universe, would desire to find a narrative that was alternative to that, that could explain what's going on in the world. A deep state, a group of elites orchestrating events. It makes sense that unbelievers may entertain ideas of how the pieces of the puzzle can fit together without a sovereign God. But the truth is, the growth of fake news and conspiracy theories are not only found among unbelievers. They are a major issue within the Christian community. And why is that? Why are alternative truths growing among church-going evangelicals? Let's consider a few reasons that believers may be particularly attracted to these types of deceptions. Well, first, some Christians may be attracted to fake news and conspiracy theories for theological reasons. So as a Christian who understands that Scripture is God's revealed truth, we know that sin and evil is everywhere. We know that sin and evil has infiltrated every human institution because it is present in every human heart. And therefore, we know by experience as well as by Scripture that at any given time, someone is always plotting something evil. Right? That desire to do evil, to exploit, to gain wealth and power through nefarious means is real and it is all around us. So in that sense, when a believer hears a wild story about some heinous behavior, we tend to believe it, especially if it's a figure that we don't particularly like. But part of the reason we believe it is for theological reasons. We know that evil exists in the heart, and that an evil heart will plot evil plans. We see ways that, again, the puzzle pieces fit together, right? We also know that Satan is an active part of this world, that he is constantly working to frustrate the plans of the Lord. The Bible tells us that Satan is a liar, a murderer from the beginning, the father of lies. So it's part of the worldview of every Bible-believing Christian that Satan is working behind the scenes. His goal is evil. His language is lies. And therefore, in one sense, a grand plot to cause evil in the world is not all that far-fetched for believers. Because we assume that Satan is always trying to do things like that. I mean, in fact, you read the book of Revelation, it tells us something similar to maybe a conspiracy theory. That world leaders will work together before Christ comes back to do evil things. Secondly, the popularity of alternative truths may grow in Christian circles because sometimes they're true. Sometimes they're true. I mean, usually they're not. But sometimes what's been warned about actually turns out to be correct. Right? Biblically speaking, Jesus was conspired against. In fact, Matthew 12 uses that word to conspire. The Pharisees were conspiring against Jesus. Most of us are familiar with even someone we consider a good man, King David, who had a salacious conspiracy that he orchestrated against Uriah in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. Also, just in our world, There are times when what seems like a conspiracy or fake news has actually turned out to be true. Right? Big Tobacco really was hiding information on the dangers of smoking. Our government did do drug experiments on its own people. Right? There have been many theories out there about the Freemasons and what they've been doing behind the scenes. It turns out some of those things were at least partially correct. Third, this grows among Christians because the news is deregulated. Right? It wasn't that long ago, most of us can remember, when you got your news because it showed up on the front porch, and then again it appeared on TV at 5:30 at night. It was carefully curated information that was given to you by a news organization. You got the news that they thought you needed. Now, in most cases, that wasn't done to be deliberately misleading, but instead they saw it as a service to give to brief the public on what mattered most. But it certainly was edited. It was never the whole story. Today we have 24-hour news cycles that comes from multiple sources. We have the Google, right? We can seek out our own information. We do our own internet searches. And we often read the first results that pop up, which are probably near the top because they paid to be there. Or we scan articles posted by others on social media, or we rely on podcasts from sources that we trust. We choose our news, often based on ease, but also on our own ideologies and biases. And there's good and bad to that news deregulation. Right, some news is so tremendously biased that it should be disregarded. Right? Just this week, I didn't watch the vice presidential debate, but I chose to read about it the next morning. And as I'm kind of scanning through some articles, I'll say who it was because it's such bad news, but it was ABC News had a fact check. And as you scan down it, they only did fact checking for Vice President Pence. There was no fact checking on the other side. You know, I mean, some of what is out there is so bad, it's good that it's deregulated, so we can just throw it out. And some of what's come to light in the last 20 years has clearly proven that there is a political and ideological bias from some in the mainstream media. Right? And often no one is picked on more than evangelical Christians. So it's nice that there is another option out there, or other options for us out there. But the downside is that because we can self-sort and choose our own information based on our biases or political leanings, we also become extremely susceptible to believing things that are untrue. Because we can, without knowing it, enter into an echo chamber where we only hear what we want to hear and our mind is never challenged with new ideas. We may seek out a YouTube or a TED Talk that summarizes a complex issue in a few minutes. And then we have this, and it's probably built from sin nature within us, but we have this belief then that we know more on the subject from that 5-minute video than an expert that's been in the field for decades. Fourth, conspiracy theories and fake news inflate the ego of the person that follows them. I remember, and this is a long time ago, but there was a movie that came out called The Sixth Sense. And I don't mention it in the sermon because I recommend it. I saw this a long time ago, high school. But that movie, if any of you have seen it, has a major twist in it at the end. And I did not know that going into it, or I didn't know the twist, but my best friend in high school had actually seen it the night before, said it's really good. He said, you're going to love it. There's this big twist at the end. That's all I knew. But I remember going to the movie and just knowing that one piece, but I got about 15 or 20 minutes in, and I figured it out. You could tell that this was a big point in my life because I actually remember, this is over 20 years ago, right? But I loved that feeling of knowing what the twist was going to be because I figured it out, and sitting there in the movie theater and knowing everybody else didn't know that one piece of information that I had figured out. I remember that feeling. It's over 20 years ago now. Conspiracies and fake news tap in to that desire that we have to feel smart, to feel like we understand something or have figured out a puzzle that everyone else has missed, that we have this extra piece of information that makes us feel significant. That's why you hear people use terms like woke and enlightened and independent-minded to speak about themselves when they're following some of these alternative facts. And if you don't believe them, you're ignorant, or you've been duped, or you're one of the sheeple. And on a related note, when one sees himself or herself as capable, but they go through their life or a period of their life and they're unable to land that big promotion, unable to finance that expensive house, unable to get people to pay attention to them like they think they should, they can blame the conspiracy. Right? It's not my fault I can't get that big job. It's not that I'm unqualified or too lazy. It's because the system is rigged against me. It's because the elites won't let it happen. Thinking like this makes one feel more self-important, right? Because if people are trying so hard to keep me down, if the system out there is working so hard to deceive me, well, then I must be very smart. And it must be very important. Finally, alternative truths are growing because they cannot be disproven. I mean, they can. We can give scores of facts to discredit these things. For instance, one can cite countless reasons why the QAnon conspiracy is utterly implausible. But when you start to talk with people who believe in it, the facts don't matter to them. They simply dismiss you. Because someone who believes in these types of distorted reality sees anyone who disagrees with them in one of two ways. They're either part of the system of deception, part of the conspiracy, oh, you're one of them. Or you're a victim of the deception. They fooled you too. Well, there's more to say on all that, but let's get to why this matters. Why does it matter in our world, and why does it matter if Christians believe some of these things? I heard this story several times growing up. Different family cookouts and things. My uncle is absolutely convinced that when he was out camping in the Pacific Northwest that he saw Bigfoot. Right? He believes it. It hasn't destroyed his life. I mean, believing in Bigfoot seems pretty harmless, doesn't it? Well, yes and no. Bigfoot and UFOs are quirky. They don't bring about some of the same slander and potential for violence that other theories may, but biblically speaking, all falsehood leads to human brokenness. As much as we proclaim as believers that embracing truth leads to human flourishing, we must admit that the opposite is also true. That embracing falsehood, even the ones that seem harmless and maybe a little bit silly, are beginning to walk down that path to human brokenness. Remember what the scripture said that we just read. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellent, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I love taking that verse and looking at it from the opposite side, right? Don't look at the things that are untrue. Don't think about the things that are dishonorable, that are impure, that are not lovely, that are not commendable. Don't think about those things. And while most crazy ideas on the internet are relatively harmless, most are still based in lies, in falsehood. And there are many conspiracy theories that may seem harmless, but once they are spread, they have the potential to cause real harm, spreading misinformation, stoking fears, some even leading to violence. don't know if you've heard of Pizzagate, right? But it's a conspiracy about Hillary Clinton and a supposed child trafficking ring that led a heavily armed young man into a pizzeria in Washington, D.C., heavily armed, threatening the staff. He's now serving 4 years in prison. Another man from Plano, Texas, and this is just more recently, was locked into another conspiracy. He marched into a Walmart in El Paso and murdered 23 people in cold blood. I think of just the rise in Holocaust denials that you see out there and how that leads to a rise in violence against Jewish people around the world. Those are extreme cases. But even when there's no violence involved, conspiracy theories damage reputations and they hurt real people. They bear false witness. Parents of children killed in the Sandy Hook massacre have had people stalk their property because they've listened to podcasts that insist that their kids aren't really dead and that the entire tragedy was part of an elaborate hoax. I mean, can you imagine the pain of not only losing your young child in a shooting, but also then having someone track you down and harass you with accusations like that? To indulge in lies is not harmless. It's corrosive to the soul. And for many, it begins to function as a type of religion or idol. Listen to what pastor and writer Mark Sayers says about QAnon. He studied this in depth. He says, really interesting, because as I looked at it, I began to see it less as a conspiracy theory. I mean, there are elements of a conspiracy theory, but it's really a new religious movement. I wonder if it's not the first great internet religion. It's not the only one out there. There are others online, other internet religions, but I think there is some concern in this one. It functions like a religion. The worldviews promoted through alternative facts, through fake news, through conspiracy theories become a type of religion for many people, an idolatry, a quasi-worship that happens as they devote an endless amount of time to researching on message boards, a quasi-evangelism that happens by chatting with friends, hoping to convert them to the cause. And for a believer, many of these are attractive because they tend to use and twist biblical language and ideas. For instance, QAnon alludes to the storm. And it sounds very similar to events that are prophesied at parts in the book of Revelation. It talks about satanic rituals. One branch of the conspiracy even has JFK Jr. coming back as a type of messianic figure. I mean, it's weird stuff. But you look at photos from protests and rallies, and you'll see people with QAnon signs and shirts on. And I think for some Christians, there's just enough there that sounds like it could fit with a biblical worldview to suck them in. It doesn't fit. It's a false religion, and it's deceiving people. It's a tool of Satan. But I can see how it's happening. Most importantly, following alternative truths destroys a believer's witness and testimony for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We are here to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus Christ, to declare repentance and faith in Jesus. 1 Timothy says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. Let me ask you, practically, what if you were looking for, say, a financial planner or a lawyer? And in your research, you find a local guy who seems to have a good practice. But then you also find out that he runs a large website devoted to exposing the truth that the 5G network towers spread COVID-19. What would you do? I know that I would not have that guy handling my accounts. He might be a great dude, but that one area of misjudgment would make me question his wisdom in all areas. And so, yeah, maybe Bigfoot isn't that big of a deal. It won't push someone over the edge to go and shoot up a Walmart. But if someone was just talking to you about the government's role in covering up evidence of Bigfoot or alien life, and then they transition into telling you about the excellencies of Jesus Christ, how seriously are you going to take that? They just got done going on a long diatribe about Barack Obama's birth certificate. And then they say, but hey, guess what else I learned in church this week? How serious are you going to take that? James says, does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Following fake news destroys a believer's witness. We are here to proclaim repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, and we must flee from anything that destroys that witness. So what is a Christian to do? Five quick applications, especially since last week didn't really have an application. Five quick applications for followers of Jesus that does not need all that much explanation, so we can move through them quickly. First, pursue wisdom. Pursue wisdom from above. Proverbs 8:11, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare. Colossians 3:1-2, we read this as we started worship this morning. If then you have been raised with Christ, if you are a believer in Jesus, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of the God. Set your mind on things that are above, not things that are on the earth. When you're busy seeking the wisdom of God, when your eyes are looking up to where Christ is, you will be much less likely to get wrapped up in the earthly lies. As I said, there's conspiracies in the Bible. If you love conspiracies, focus on those. There is a great conspirator, Satan. He's out there seeking to thwart God's work and destroy souls. So focus on the things that matter. Eternal things, not weird theories and alternative facts. Second, embrace mystery. One of my favorite Old Testament passages. Many times it has brought me comfort as I seek to piece the puzzles of God together, right? Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, the secret things belong to the Lord. But the things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. God declares that he gave us all the things that we need to know. All the things we need to know to live a life that pleases him. But he also says, there's some mystery here, guys. Some things that you're not supposed to figure out. Embrace the fact that not everything is going to fit together perfectly in your time here on earth. That part of the reason we're so easily misled into conspiracy theories and silly myths is because we resist accepting that some things are designed to remain unknown. And true wisdom comes when we accept our finite humanity and embrace the truth that God is in charge and that he has left a few things as a mystery until he returns. When you were a child at Christmas time, I assume that your parents did not let you have your Christmas presents early and before they wrapped them and put them under the tree. Yeah, and if they went there, part of the joy and the mystery was that you had that big box and you could imagine what was in there and you could pick it up and shake it. And if you were a naughty kid like I was, you tried to pull at the corners where the tape was to see if you could get a peek of what it was. But the joy came in the mystery and the final revelation of that package when you got to open it up. There's a mystery. Resist tabloid-style information. You know what I'm talking about here. You know what those tabloids and those magazines look like in the aisle at, you know, Cub Foods or Target or whatever. What does the Bible say about that type of information? 1 Timothy 1 says this, "Charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculation rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith." Resist spreading that type of information if it sounds weird, if it sounds salacious. There's no value in sharing it. And that scripture leads us to this point, to be slow and careful in your speech, in what you repeat, in what you post online. Be careful of the facts that you're declaring. Again, James tells Christians to be slow to speak and quick to hear. But I think even more weighty than James' words are the words of Jesus in Matthew 12, verse 36. Jesus says, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak." Every careless word. But that has several implications for our lives in several different areas. But it's quite instructive when we're thinking about fake news, about alternative facts, about what we're learning and saying and what we're posting. Finally, focus on what's in front of you. Jesus ended his teaching on worry during the Sermon on the Mount with a simple statement. He says, "Do not worry about tomorrow. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles." Now, that's a little Yoda-like there, the way that ends. But he's saying, each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry about what you can't see or can't control. Don't worry about what's coming in the future. Just deal with that which is in front of you. Deep state, world syndicates, child trafficking rings, assassination attempts, produced moon landings, they all may sound interesting. They may even seem terribly important to some of us. But here's the truth, and it's not an alternative truth. Sufficient for your own life is its trouble. You have enough going on in your life right now to keep you busy. Enough going on in your life to really invest in. Your family and their spiritual development. Your own growth in the kingdom of God. Your neighbor's soul. Your coworker's addiction. Your friend's troubled marriage. Your church's building campaign. Sufficient is your life for its trouble. God has given you enough to steward, enough to work on, enough to worry about. And to engage in some of these other endeavors is not only a waste of time, it's escapism. It's forsaking the important task that God has given you in this world, the important task of making disciples, and escaping into some sort of fantasy realm. We must pursue the wisdom from above. Conclude with this. As a kid, I loved to sit out and look for UFOs. We'd have sleepovers out in the field, staring up. Oh, that one's moving too fast to be a plane, right? X-Files was my favorite show in high school. Very nerdy. I'm glad the rest of the sermon came before that because you would have tuned me out. But as Corinthians says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. When I became a follower of Christ, I began to seek out what mattered eternally. seeking Christ, seeking the wisdom that comes from above. Friends, do not get caught up in the allure of alternative facts, fake news, conspiracy theories. Do not embrace falsehood. Do not repeat things that sound weird. Even if it turns out to be true, it ruins your witness today. It attacks the soul. It leads to brokenness. No one has ever grown closer to God through embracing a lie. It seems as though fake news is all around. As believers, we fight and we must fight for truth. We worship the one who said he is truth. And if we are followers of him, if we have repented and chosen Christ as our Lord and leader, we must be about truth as well. We must fight for truth. We look to see clearly in days of deception. We do that by prioritizing truth, by seeking Scripture, by letting God's Word correct our vision.